You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
All right, everybody have your Bibles, Colossians 2. I've been teaching on who is this Jesus. That's the series we've been doing on Sundays, and just talking about who he is, his uniqueness, how you can't put him in the category of Buddha and Muhammad and other religious leaders. He won't fit that mold. He wasn't just a speaker, he wasn't just a teacher, he wasn't just a rabbi, he wasn't just a guide, he wasn't just a leader, he wasn't just an example. He was the Son of God. And we didn't need a better example, we didn't need a better leader, we didn't need a better guide, we didn't need a better teacher. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. And that's what separates Jesus from all other religious leaders. Muhammad didn't save you from his sins, Buddha didn't save you from his sins, they didn't die for you. Jesus came and died for us. And also, hashtag, you know, as they say today, I had to throw that out. It took me months to even figure out what that is. Dick and I were talking about that a while back. And also, you need to understand, hashtag, Jesus is God, okay? He is God. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a religious man, good man. He is God. And so that separates him somewhat from Muhammad and from Buddha and even from Moses and Elijah and all the prophets of old. So what we know about Jesus, what we believe about Jesus as Christians, puts him in a totally different category. So we talked about his deity and how he talked about being the Son of God, coming from God, and how he existed forever before he became a man. He's the Ancient of Days, who's going forth, has been from everlasting to everlasting, Micah 5:2. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking of Jesus, all things were made by him. Without him, the Word was not anything made that was made. 14th verse of John 1 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten the Father, full of grace, full of truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus didn't preach us a way. He didn't show us a way. He said, I am the way. Jesus didn't preach a truth. He said, I am the truth. Are you with me? He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So he didn't just say, follow my teaching. No, he said, follow me. You know, and that's something that's just totally different than other religious leaders. They might have brought a message, but Jesus comes along and he says, I am the message. You know, that makes him unique in that respect. So he was God, and then we talked about his humanity. He was also a man, totally man. I mean, he was God before, and God became a man, and that's the story we just celebrated in Christmas time. You know, Emmanuel, God with us. That was the master in the manger. That was the creator in the crib that we're talking about here. And so when you talk about Jesus, he's not just a, you know, he's our prophet along with other prophets, other religious. No. Jesus was the creator and the maker of all that is. He is the almighty God. He is Jehovah. He is the one that became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the one that walked this earth as a man, but he had always existed as God. And so he is eternal, eternal in the past, eternal in the future. Excuse me. It's hard to hide this thing right here. I'm trying to cover that up. I need to be quick, turn it off. But Jesus always has been and always will be. He's the one that was alive and dead and is alive forevermore, he said. Behold, I am alive forevermore. So that separates him totally, totally unique. And he whooped the devil, as we say in East Texas, on his own ground, beat him in his own domain in hell, took away from him the keys of hell and death, and arose victorious, conquered hell, death, and the grave, and sat down on the right hand of God. We're not serving a little baby in a manger. He did become a baby. We're not serving just a lamb that laid down his life. He did lay down his life. We're serving someone that conquered the devil at his own game. Beat death by conquering death. Beat death and rose again and come out of an empty tomb. Hallelujah. And sat down at the right hand of God with the keys of hell and death in his hand. Glory to God. We're serving a conqueror. We're serving a warrior. We're serving someone who paid the price for our sins, that did what we could not do. Wow. That's awesome. That's just amazing. You have every reason to look up to him. You talk about American Idol. We're talking about the idol, the one we ought to all worship, the one we all ought to aspire to be like, to act like. We ought to walk like him, talk like him, forgive as he forgave, do what he did. There's no better hero than Jesus. Jesus, he's my hero. They don't get any better. But in concerning him, I want to continue along these lines of who is this Jesus? Who is he? Well, he is the perfect picture of God. He's the fullness of God, the Bible says, in the earth. So if you're ever confused about who God is and what God does, you can always go to Jesus. Because we Christians sometimes get confused. Are you out there? I've been there. How about you? You know, does God do this? Does God do that? Something bad happens, we think God's behind it. Well, it says so in insurance policy. It's got to be the truth, right? So, I mean, that's where we get our doctrine. Don't you get your doctrine from insurance policies? But if you do, you're fixing to be in big trouble this year. But anyway, moving right along, God does what he says he does. And you know what? I'll tell you something, and don't you take me wrong. Don't you get this wrong, because I believe the Bible is God's word from Genesis to Revelation. But you don't get the full picture of God in the Old Testament. If you said what do you mean I don't? Well, if you did, we wouldn't have the New Testament. Come on, duh. Just think it through. We didn't get the whole picture of God in the Old Testament. We didn't get a clear picture of God in the Old Testament. If you did, then Jesus wouldn't have to come. But Jesus did come, didn't he? And we do have a New Testament, don't we? And we are in a new covenant, aren't we? I mean, those are obvious facts. Those aren't, that's not speculation. That's just the truth. So if you want the whole picture, the complete picture of God, you're not going to get it from Moses. Thank God for Moses. Thank God for his teaching. We refer to him and go back to him. But you don't get the full revelation of Moses. I quoted you a verse out of John, the first chapter, where it says, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Whoa, what is that supposed to mean? That means you didn't get the whole truth till Jesus came. You got stick figures, you got paintings, you got pictures. It'd be like you going on vacation. Steve Vangie in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I still can't get over that. I'm praying about that. But anyway, beautiful place there. I don't know if you've ever been up there. It's a beautiful place. But, they'll probably come back with pictures. Come back with pictures. You probably look on Facebook this afternoon and see something. Everything's so quick nowadays, you know. But having said that, I've got one in my pocket. Thank you. Having said that, if you come back from vacation, you probably bring pictures. Well, if you can imagine, the Old Testament is kind of a picture. It's just a picture in that sense. And you might bring, pictures back from vacation. And you're constantly saying, oh, you just should have been there. It really doesn't do it justice. I mean, you should have. You know what I'm talking about? Because it's not like being there, but it's there. It's close as you can get to it. It's just beautiful. But boy, if you were just standing there, just the panorama, just the experience of being there, it can't quite do justice to it, but it gives you an idea. And if you were trying to convey, a vacation to somebody with a pencil and you're writing stick figures, it wouldn't be a very good representation, would it? And you might get a little better if you paint it, if you're pretty good at painting. You could paint a picture. Then you get a little closer if you take a picture. That's pretty cool. But then if you took a video, now that's getting even closer when you take a video. But I'll tell you something else that's even better than that, being there. And that's kind of what we have in the Old Testament. We have little stick figures, and sometimes it gets a little plainer. Sometimes we get a better picture. But when Jesus came along, he says, I am God. He's not a painting. He's not a picture. Are you with me? He's not a representation. He is the fullness of God bodily. He showed us clearly and accurately who God is and what God does. And if you want to know what God does, follow Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as he walks the streets of Capernaum and shores of Galilee and heals the sick and raises the dead and forgives people. See, God is good. And I don't know why, but he loves you. And he really cares about you. And he'll give you 100 chances if you'll come back to him. Now, he can't help you if you don't come to him. He can't do anything with you if you run away. But if you keep going your own way, if you want to be bad, you're on your own. You really don't need him to be bad. You can do that all by yourself. But if you want to be good, he'll help you be good. If you want to love, he'll help you love. And if you want to forgive and you want to be a better person, better husband, better wife, better father, better mother, if you want to be a better person in the society we live in, if you want to be a help and a blessing, not a curse, if you want to be a better Christian, well, that's the kind of help he offers. He'll help you do that because God is good. But if you don't want to do that, you don't need God. You want to be mean? You're on your own. You do real good without him. I can be mean without God. Are you with me? I can be no good and sorry without him. But I'll tell you what, I can be somebody with him. He can help me be somebody. And that's what you see in Jesus. He takes prostitutes. He takes drug addicts. He takes all these people all messed up. He takes these people that were just had no hope, no future, and they got to him, and he made somebody out of them. He did something with them. That's what God always does. Takes sick people and he heals them, crippled people and they walk, blind people, their eyes pop open. He walks up dead people and raises them from the dead. Because God restores and God makes things whole. That's what God does. And we see that in Jesus. God's never been your problem. He's always been your answer. Now, God is holy, and there are consequences to your actions. And if you live in sin, there's going to be consequences to that. God doesn't like that, but that's the way it is. God has to be true to who he is. He is holy, and he is good, and he can't be bad. He is not evil. He is good. So he can't abide sin. He can't abide that. But anytime the sinner turns, anytime you turn, come to him, he'll help you. He'll meet you right where you are. Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest, is what he says. Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you, is what he says. You make a step toward God, he'll make two. It is amazing what the Lord will do. You know that song? You make one step, he'll make two. It is amazing what the Lord will do. You know, I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed out begging for bread. You may be down today, but help is on the way. Dark clouds may dim your sky, but he'll answer you by and by. You make one step, he'll make two. It is amazing what the Lord will do. You know, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed out begging for bread. Anyway, I sing that a little better when I'm not, you know, battling the throat here. But that's what the Scripture says he will do if you'll come to him, because he is good. Now, Colossians, y'all found Colossians 2? Give you plenty of time to get there. You know, I just like to give you time to get there. You know, we're all on the same page here. Colossians 2. Notice what it says here in the 6th verse. As you therefore have received Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Good point. How'd you receive Jesus? I received him by faith. How about you? I called on him. I submitted to him. I just gave my all to him. I laid down my arms of rebellion and I come to Jesus. That's what I did. I quit running. The hound of heaven was on my trail. And he was coming down on my heels. And I finally said, what am I running for? And I quit running. And I accepted Jesus. You know, I gave in. I gave up. I didn't find him. He was on my trail all my life. I finally just turned around. He was chasing me my whole life, you know. And I took all my weapons and all my, you know, all my, I was fighting him, you know. And I laid it all down. And I surrendered. And I accepted and I believed on him. So I received him that way. Now he says, so walk in him. Walk in him with a surrender, an acceptance, and a submission to him. Quit fighting him. Quit fighting his will for your life. You know, whatever it is he wants you to do, do it. If he wants you to forgive, forgive. Live holy, live holy. Are you with me? Just do it with a passion and walk in it. Do something. Get the ground running when the sun comes up. Amen? So it says, as you've received the Lord Jesus by faith, walk in faith, so walk in him. Rooted, built up in him, established in the faith. There it is again, faith. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. If you've been taught right, you will be thanking God. If you've been taught God hates you and he's, you know, he's just one step from just smashing you like a bug every time you turn around. And I don't know why he even puts up with you, you worthless, sorry, no good dog. He, you know, you hate your mama, you hate your papa, you never done a good thing in your life, but God loves you and I love you. God bless your dirty, rotten little hearts. If that's the way you've been taught, it's kind of hard to be thankful. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches God's in love with you. If you had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. Are you with me? It's crazy about you. But it says, as you have, you know, been taught and bound in it with thanksgiving, beware now lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. This is not a man's religion. This is God's word. This is not a concept or an idea or an Eastern philosophy. You know, no, this is not Plato and Aristotle. No, this is not that. No, this is not a philosophy. A Buddhism is kind of a philosophy more than a religion, I guess. But it's not just a rule of life. It's not just a logical, pragmatic, abstract way of living. Beware now, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, but not according to Christ. See, whatever doctrine it is that we hold to, whether we be Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic, the list goes on, Church of Christ. I'm going to miss some churches. I'm inclusive of church. Thank God for churches. But whatever doctrine it is that we all yield to, our doctrine is Christ. Are you with me? It's not knowing all you can know about him. It's knowing him. And when you get to heaven, it's going to be a matter of Jesus saying, I know you, or I never knew you. Not I know about you. Are you out there? And God wants you to know him. Do you know him? That's a valid question. Have you met him? Well, that's pretty neat. When you meet him and you know him, then he's more than a doctor now. He's the truth. He's, you know, I've often said that I could write a book about Brenda. And it'd be good. Be a good book. It'd be a thick book. I mean, it'd be all the things I could tell you about Brenda. And they'd all be good. And you know what? You could read that book, and you could come back, and you could tell me some facts about Brenda from reading the book. You say, I know all about Brenda. I read that book. But yet, you may have never met her. And you could argue with me about some facts and so on and so forth. And I would stand here and I'd say, well, you know, you read about Brenda. I know her. I know her. She's more than a doctrine to me. I actually have met her. And that's the way Christianity is. We can argue back and forth all kinds of facts about Jesus. But there's this deal here. When I was 19 years old, it's just cough drop. When I was 19 years old, I met Jesus. And I've learned a whole lot about him since then. But Jesus is not a doctrine I believe in. Jesus is a person I know. You can't talk me out of knowing someone. You can't talk me out of knowing Brenda. We might disagree on some facts, you know, but I know her. And Jesus is not an idea or a concept. I actually turned my life over to him, called on him, and he changed my life. And I have never been the same. Never been the same. I hadn't been perfect. I hadn't done everything just right. But I know him, and I know his presence, and I know his voice. I know his touch. Man up. Come on. And I know him. It's about him. That's what it's always about. When we say, who is this Jesus? Well, he is our all in all. He's everything. Either Jesus is the most important thing in your life or he's nothing. Period. I believe he is the most important thing in anyone's life. Amen? And it says here about him that don't beware lest you be spoiled through philosophy and tradition and abstract ideas and concepts and not according to Christ. And in the ninth verse, it says, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if you really want a clear picture of God, you got to get to Jesus. You got to. If you don't get to Jesus, you don't get the clear picture. You'll never see God for who he really is if you don't get to Jesus. You say, well, now Moses said, well, I understand that. Well, now Job said, I understand that. I got a Bible and I read it too. I read my Bible all the time. Jeremiah said, Ezekiel and Daniel said, yeah, they did. And there's a lot in there. Thank God for all that they said and all that God moved on them to say. But they were stick figuring and they were painting and they were snapshotting. Are you with me? And Jesus comes along and now he arrives. And the picture's clear and the muddy water all of a sudden clears up and you can see right through. And you see Jesus and you see him raising dead and casting out devils and you see him healing the sick and you see him forgiving sinners, and you see him making somebody's out of nobody's, and you see him moving through life, touching lives and changing lives and making people better, hallelujah, getting people back up on their feet again and making heroes out of losers, hallelujah. Now that's God, and because that's Jesus. And there's a lot of bad things going on in the world. The world is messed up, and we're in a fallen world. It is broken. I understand that. It needs fixing, and I know there's things that stick and cut and bite and grab and, you know, in life, but that's because we're not in heaven. That's not God's fault. God made the world. It was perfect. Adam came along and messed it up. If you want to rag on somebody, rag on Adam. And then the devil who tempted Adam. You know, Jesus very plainly said this in John 10th chapter. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Could it be any plainer? You say, well, yeah, but Moses said, well, now, wait a minute. I'm not arguing with Moses. I'm not arguing with Jeremiah. I'm telling you what Jesus said. And let me ask you a question. If Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, and Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I've come that you might have life and have more abundantly, who are you going to go with? Isn't this kind of a no-brainer? I mean, did Job die for your sins? I don't think so. Was Job God? No, Jesus is God. Job did the best he could, and he was a great man. He was patient. He held on to his faith, and he didn't give up, but he wasn't all that educated. If you put his teaching in light of the rest of the Bible, especially if you put it beside Jesus. So we're not contradicting each other. Stay with me. It's just Job had some stick figures he was looking at. Are you with me? He didn't have the covenant we have. He doesn't know what we know. He didn't know there was a devil. Go read it. The devil was moving behind the scenes, and Job wasn't even aware of him. Whoever wrote the book of Job knew about it, but Job didn't know. So God bless Job. Thank God for his patience. Woo! Are you out there? But Jesus comes along and clears it all up. Amen? We find out when people are sick and people have demons and stuff in them, they have spirits of infirmities, and you know, he cast out demons of blindness and all. Jesus would attribute to the devil all the problems, and then he'd come along and attribute to God all the answers. You know, you find Luke 13, this woman bent over for 18 years, and he walks up to her. He said, "Woman, you're loose from your infirmity." And the ruler of the synagogue gets upset because Jesus healed somebody in church, God forbid, on a service day. Says there's 6 days, go out there and go work. Why don't come in here on the Sabbath on the synagogue and heal her? Like we're not supposed to get healed in church. Well, where are you going to get healed if you don't get healed in church? And Jesus said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound?" What did he say? Whom Satan hath bound. He didn't say God bound her. He didn't say God was working something out in her character. He didn't say God had a plan or a purpose or marked her with a mark. He said Satan hath bound. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, be loosed from this infirmity this day? And you know what he did? He loosed her. I like that. I like the language of the Bible. You know, when someone's healed, they're made normal. And when they're delivered, they're free. God looks at sickness as a binding. It's something that binds us. He looks at healing as something that frees us. You ever notice that God doesn't turn pumpkins into coaches and white mice into coachmen? You don't see glass slippers, people. Those are fairy tales. When God does a miracle, he'll heal legs to where they walk. Isn't that amazing? But you notice we're all walking on our legs, aren't we? We walked in here today. What's so big deal about walking on your legs? Well, the big deal was the healing of the legs, but when the healing took place, all the healing did was make it normal. Isn't that right? You ever notice when he heals a blind man's eyes, they open up, they see, and we all go, "Wow!" And it is a miracle. Thank God the miracle took place. The blind eyes popped open as a miracle, but those eyes are seeing like your eyes are seeing right now. All he did was make them normal. Ooh, hallelujah. That's better preaching. Y'all are amening. I may have to moonwalk or something, do something to get y'all in this. God's miracles fit creation. They have the mark of the Creator on them. When Jesus walks in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he doesn't do weird stuff. He said, "Well, he turned water into wine." Well, doesn't water turn into wine? Doesn't water, it comes down from heaven, get in the ground, get in those vines, and turn into grapes, and eventually turn into... All he did was speed it up. Yeah, but he made a lot of bread out of little bread. Wasn't that where bread comes from? I mean, you get bread from bread. I mean, you get rye from rye, wheat from wheat, and... Well, he made a lot of fish out of little fish. Well, that's where fish comes from. He didn't make fish out of stones. He multiplied fishes. Did you know fishes are multiplying all over the world right now? You've got an ocean. It happens every day. Sometimes it takes weeks, months, whatever. He just did it real quick. Are you with me? Everything he does is just a miracle, is just a speeding up of the process. What we miss is the long-term miracles going on all the time. What we miss is every time we get on our legs, they walk. The gazelle understands it, and so does the lion in Africa. They get up and hit the ground running. But we miss the miracle of it because we're so familiar with it, but it's going on all the time. We miss the miracle of all those fish that keep multiplying, all that bread that keeps multiplying. Are you out there? And all that water gets in the ground, turns into wine, goes into those grapes and all the different fruits and things that it waters. And we miss the miracle because of the process of time. And then God shows up and he says, "Well, I'm the one who did that." Bam. Multiply fish. Bam. Multiply bread. I think it was Terry Myers said just last week, I was caught this on Facebook, he's preaching somewhere up north, and mentioned that Jesus met needs with a fish market in one hand and a bakery in the other. Are you with me? And God does do those things instantaneously, but his miracles fit. They have the smell, the scent of the Creator on them. When Jesus walked the earth, he didn't do weird stuff. He just sped up the process and caused us to see undeniably that this is God. The one that makes eyes open those eyes. The one that makes legs to walk made those legs to walk. Are you with me? The one that gives life raised that man from the dead and took that man off the, you know, the funeral briar when he was on his way, the widow of Nain's son. So Jesus comes along, and he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I love that. Isn't that good? So he's more than just a religious leader. Oh, come on, he's more than that. More than just a great teacher. You can't say that. You can't just say he's just a good teacher. Come on, he doesn't leave you that out. He is God. Woo! And when it comes to destruction and bad stuff going on, he didn't attribute that to God. In fact, he didn't start a storm. He stopped one. Remember? Stopped a storm. You say, why are storms going on? Because of sin in the world. Not necessarily yours or the nation's sin, but Adam's sin. He's the one who started the whole ball rolling. Sometimes you're getting it, taking advantage of his sin. It's not always you because something goes wrong. Little babies are born with things that go wrong. They didn't do anything. But the sin of the world is there, causing destruction on people's lives, causing storms and things around the world. When you get to heaven, there are no storms. When you get to heaven, there's not one hospital in heaven. There's not a funeral home there to go to. Nobody dies. Nobody gets sick. Now, if you want to know somewhere where God is in complete control, that would be heaven. And so you don't see that stuff in heaven. You say, well, God's in control of everything down here. Wait a minute. Now, the Bible doesn't say that. You probably learned that in church, but the Bible does not say that. The Bible actually says just the opposite of that. The Bible says the earth, it gives the whole story and explains the whole thing to us, what happened when Adam sinned, and how you can disobey God, and you can rebel against God, and you don't have to be controlled by God. God doesn't control you. God takes you, if you will submit to him. Submission is your choice. Control is a dictatorship. God doesn't take over your life, make you do stuff. God gives you the choice, and if you choose to submit, he'll move through you. But every little thing that happens in your life is not God's will. Because the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, now, if I'm supposed to resist some things and submit to other things, then everything can't be God. Oh, come on now. Are y'all with me? What happens is we got some of these sacred cows around here and we got a herd of them. Sometimes it's too many to kick over in one service. But nonetheless, we hear those religious sayings all the time, and the Bible doesn't really teach that. In fact, the Bible teaches the opposite of that. You think God's in control of the mass murderer? You think God's in total control of the child molester? You think God was in control of Hitler when he did that? They were in total rebellion to God. They weren't submitted to God at all. God didn't have anything to do with that. That was their own will, and God won't overrule your will. He'll let you go right to hell. Because he doesn't take anybody to heaven kicking and screaming. That's your choice. His arms are extended. His heart is for you. He loves you all the way to hell. He'll love you. But it's your choice to go there. Anytime you turn, he'll take you in. Anytime you repent, he'll save you. Oh, my goodness, make the best you could ever be. Please, for my sake and everybody else, and my kids and my grandkids, get saved. Come on, come to Jesus. You're such a much better person when you serve him. I am too. We all are. Amen. So here's Jesus, and he is the complete, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He gives us the complete picture. Hey, real quickly, John 5, turn there. Does this help anybody? Good. Something to chew on anyway, something to think about. I don't want to make you mad if I stepped on your pet doctrine. But hey, my doctrine, your doctrine is subject to the Word. Amen. It's one of the, you know, we have concepts about God we really can't prove. A lot of times we just say them because they sound religious. You know, I remember in little kids, you know, used to say to little kids, oh, you better watch out. God's going to get you for that. You know, we'd hear things like that. But God's not trying to get anybody. Your sins get you. You jump off a roof, you hit ground. That's called gravity. God didn't do that. You did. You jumped off the roof. Hey, I got some insight here to help you. Quit jumping off the roof. Yeah. Stop that stuff. See, I mean, you can stop that. That's not God. Are you out there? God, just get me for that. No, that's just consequences of your actions. That's just sowing and reaping. That's all that is. That's like a farmer saying, man, I don't know why I have y'all. All this yellow squash out here, man. I wanted watermelons out in this patch. I got 5 acres of yellow squash that I planted out here, and I wanted watermelons. And you're going, well why didn't you plant watermelons? Well, all I had was yellow squash, so I planted yellow squash, but that's not what I wanted. I wanted watermelons. And you're going, this guy, they got a place for him in Terrell. Because he's arguing about sowing and reaping. He planted the yellow squash. That's what he got. If you plant it, you're going to get it. If you sow it, you're going to reap it. You can blame God all day long, but it comes down to what you sowed. And if you like, I got some more insight here too. Boy, I'm just full of all kinds of tips today. If you want watermelons, plant watermelons. Wow. That's deep, isn't it? Yeah, you write that down somewhere and circle that, highlight it. Okay, John 5. Notice what it says here in John 5:39. If you might want to just write this down, I don't have time to turn all these because I want to give you three of them real quick. John 5:19. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. In other words, Jesus didn't do anything he didn't see the Father do, and he didn't do anything of himself. So when you see him doing something, you're seeing the Father doing it in him, right? And when you're seeing him do things, you're seeing him do what he saw the Father do. So if God was behind all this bad stuff, then Jesus should have done some of that bad stuff. Right? Because he only did what he saw the Father do. Oh, no, y'all didn't get it. Still didn't get it. So if you follow Jesus, Jesus didn't give us one side of God. I think that's the idea we have sometimes. You know, we see the wrath of God in the Old Testament, and we see the love of God in Jesus, as if these were God's schizophrenic, bipolar or something. And Jesus didn't really give us the complete picture. What we just read, he was the complete fullness, the Godhead body. He didn't give us half a God. Jesus comes along, we see one side of God in Jesus. Well, no. We see the whole picture of God in Jesus. Are you with me? He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If Jesus is behind all that bad stuff, then why didn't he do that? He didn't give anybody a headache except the Pharisees. Are you with me? That was funnier. Y'all didn't laugh. I guess I've told it so many times. But he didn't give anybody, he didn't make anybody sick, he didn't kill anybody. He didn't take anybody's money away, gave to the poor. He didn't start any storms, he stopped them. And he said, I only do what I see the Father do. So he never saw God do any of that stuff. Isn't that what it says? Wow. That's pretty strong stuff. How about this one, John 14:9. You know, John 14:6, you know that one says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I love that. Jesus didn't bring us away. He is the way. He didn't bring us truth. He is the truth. He didn't offer us a life. He is the life. Jesus is the message. And in that 14th chapter, the 9th verse, he says this. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Now, wouldn't it be terrible for him to confuse us like this? To just show us one side of him. Well, yeah, y'all see that preacher up there, but I know how he is out of that pulpit. Are you with me? That's what's wrong with so many preachers' kids nowadays, is preachers don't live the same way they preach. Are you out there? You know, they're one way in the pulpit and another way in the... That's why I try not to be a lot of real different in the pulpit and out of the pulpit. I don't have a preacher's voice. I don't go into another tone. I don't say God, G-A-W-D, God. I just talk like I normally talk, and teach the word, preach the word, and because you don't have to become another person to be a Christian. You don't have to look different and eyes glazed over, and you know what we call a Jesus freak. You know, you can just talk about the Lord like you can talk about anything, and you should be able to reason it just like you talk about fishing or talk about anything else. He's real, God's real. You can talk about Him, Amen. Talk about prayer and faith and all those things. You don't have to become another person to do that. You need to be the same way all the time. Hallelujah. But see, Jesus didn't come along and give us one side. Jesus gave us the whole side, every side, the whole truth. Jesus didn't bring us a truth. He is the truth. He's the whole truth, nothing but the truth. He's not a partial truth. He's not a half of God or one side of God or the good side of God. He is God. He's a complete picture. Are you out there? And he didn't leave any room for doubt. Come on. When we accepted Jesus, we accepted the Lord of all creation. We accept the Creator and the Maker of all that is. The one who set the stars in the sky. Hallelujah. The one that made the oceans and the seas and made the earth and made man put breath inside of him. The one that we're all going to return to. The one we've talked about and preached about and shared and prayed to and called on and cried with and been healed and set free by and delivered and put on our feet again. We're going to see him, hallelujah, Jesus. And we get to heaven, we're going to see his goodness and his mercy like never before. Through the ages of time, the Bible tells us he's going to show us his goodness and his love. That's what the Bible says. And I believe when we get to heaven, you're going to realize that every good moment in your life, it was God. It was God all that time. He was the one that delivered you when you didn't know it. He's the one that kept you going when you wanted to give up. When you didn't even recognize it, he was the one that sustained you. He's the one that held on to you. It was his love and his protection, his guarding, guiding eye. And when you get to heaven and you walk in the streets of gold and you look into heaven and you see him and you see his eyes, you're going to have a revelation. You're going to see it for the way it really is. And you're going to know that you know that you know that was you. That was you. All the time, that was you. Every bit of goodness in my life was you. Every drop of mercy that hit me was you. It always was. It always was. Because God's good. Are you with me? He's holy. He has his standards. If you go to hell, it's your fault. And you can go there. Heaven's high, hell is hot, and life is short. We got one shot at this deal. You got to make a choice. You know, but God didn't send you there. I mean, you know, people are going there every day. And all you got to do is turn around. Come on, turn around. Come, Jesus. Amen. That's the call of the Bible. Hallelujah. To this good God, this one that loves you, the one that so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Life is short. The clock is ticking. Are you with me? Time is rolling on. And we're getting closer to meeting him. And I hope it's with joy. And I hope I hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen. That's what I'm believing I'm going to hear. Because I've accepted Jesus and turned my life over to him.